you very much. Appreciate the brief introduction. Gives me extra time, which I can always use. The topic I see was which was handed out, Divrei Sofrim, the interface between Doraisa and Drabanan. I think that originally I gave the topic to be the interface between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. But the truth is that I was speaking to one of my Talmidim who I think puts together the Mar Makomos, Avi Block, and he's such a good Talmid that he was able to take what I said, either didn't hear it correctly or whatever, but to change it, and yet it would be precise and accurate. So it's the topic really is Divrei Sofrim, the interface between Doraisa and Rabbanan and Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. And specifically, I want to focus on the very famous Shita of the Rambam about Kiddushei Kesef being Divrei Sofrim. The parsha that we read at Mincha on this yesterday, beginning of Parshas Chayisara, tells the story of the Patira of Sarah, and of course Avraham Avinu's rush to find a proper kever for her, and the buying of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, the negotiations that took place with the local community there, and the Pesukim are of course very fascinating. One of the salient elements in that negotiation was the actual purchase of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah itself, and the Torah tells us that that was done, b'kesef male, it was a negotiation. The Torah uses the expression kicha in that context, hasada asher kona Avram, how did he buy that field? Nasati kesef hasada kach mimeni. So the word kicha is used in the context of the purchase of the sada of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. In the Mishnah, in the beginning of Masechet Kiddushin, this is in the top, the sources that you have in the first page, it's page 2, but it's source number 1. So the Mishnah tells us, Aisha nikneis b'shlosha drachim, the woman becomes married in 3 different ways. The konas atzma b'shtei drachim, and she can remove herself from her marriage in 2 ways. Nikneis b'kesef b'shtar b'biya, the 3 methods of becoming an HSC shar kesef shtar b'biya, through kesef, money, shtar, document, obvious here, and bia, kiddushei bia, the physical intimacy of husband and wife, and then konas atzma be'beis drachim, that's get and misas haba. The yeshiva's only getting this year, but we're not going to be discussing that right now. So then immediately, as the Gemara does, the Gemara tries to understand the sources for these 3 methods of kiddushin. And we're told, ha'isha niknes, ma'ish nahochi detona isha niknes, ma'ish nahasin detona isha makadesh. The Gemara originally focuses on the linguistic question, why the language of niknes as opposed to the second parak where we say isha makadesh. The Gemara says, b'shum dekabay lemisni kesef, because we immediately wanted to zero in on kiddushei kesef, on how a woman becomes an eishes ish through kesef. So the Gemara says, v'kesef minalan, and how do you know that she becomes an eishes ish through kesef? Gomar kicha kicha misnei Ephraim. Again, the psukim that I just alluded to in Parshas Chayisara, the purchase of the sadeh from Ephron, Ma'aras HaMachpelah, k'siv hacha, it says in the context of kiddushin, the psukim in Parshas Kitetze, ki yikach ish isha, u'k'siv hasam, it says in the parsha of Chayisara, nasati kesef asadeh, kach mimeni, v'kicha ikri kinyan, there's still a missing piece, because how do you know that the word kicha has any kind of connection to kinyan? Kicha ikri kinyan d'k'siv, also in the parsha, hasadeh asher kona Avram. So apparently, kicha, kinyan, kesef, all the way back to kiyikach ish isha means kiyikach isha lekinyan be kesef. That's the Gemara's limud. So here is the source for kinyan, kesef, kiddushei, kesef. That's the Gemara. The question is there any significance to the fact that kiddushei kesef, which of course is our most common form of ishus, everybody here has gone to weddings, I'm sure, probably more than one. Probably no one has ever witnessed a kiddushei shtar. All of us go to weddings, and we see that the chasan hands a ring to the kala, That's Tabas, but that's basically Kiddushei Kesef. None of us have experienced anything other, pretty much, than Kiddushei Kesef. So the question is whether or not the fact that there are three methods and they're derived in three different ways, Kesef, as we just discussed, Shtar, the Gemara says later on, is derived from a link between Gittin and Kiddushin. It says V'yatza B'hoisa. We're going to read that Gemara in just a couple of minutes. And the third one is Kiddushei Bia. That's explicit in the Parsha, Ki Yikach Ish Isha Uva'ol. So we have three methods of Kiddushin derived in three different ways from different sources. The question is, is there any significance to the fact that these are three different sources and three different methods? Does it make any difference whatsoever in assessing either the quality or the status of the Kiddushin at all? So there's a very famous discussion in Rashi, in a number of places in Shas, where Rashi quotes Rabosav, his Rabbeim, who had the view that because Kiddushei Kesef is derived, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, from this Hekesh, between the buying of the Maris HaMachpelah and Ki Yikach Ish Isho Va'ala, that somehow that makes this method into a Drabbana. If you look, for example, at the source number 3, the very famous Gemara appears in a number of places in Shas. The Gemara in a few places suggests that there are certain conditions in which get is given where minat Torah it is not really binding, and the woman should remain an eishes ish. However, the Chachamim were concerned that, you know, if we were to follow the strict din under these conditions, that it would cause a catastrophe, and it would lead to mamzerus and other such terrible calamities. And therefore, they were metaken, they instituted that this get, which only should have been effective midrabanan, will work minat Torah as well. That's what the Gemara talks about. There are different cases of this throughout Shas. So one of them is the Gemara Gsuvisaf Gimel Amad. So the Gemara says, "Umi kimidi de midaraisa lola have a get mishum tsnuos and mishum prutzos." Tsnuos and prutzos is the particular takana that we're talking about. Sharina neshasish li'alma. Is it conceivable that the Chachamim have the capacity to enact a din derabanan, right, which will affect the daraisa? And that's that they will be able to come along and say that a get, which principally is only derabanan, is going to be matir and eshasish, is going to allow her to remarry as if she really is migureshes. After all, the Chacham have great powers, but do they have the capacity to change a daraisa status like eshasish? That seems beyond their grasp. So the Gemara says, "In yes, they actually do have that power, based on what? Kol demekadesh adata derabanan mekadesh v'yafkinu rabanan lekiddushin mineh." This is a topic in its own right, which we're not going to get into mostly. But basically, the idea is this is a reference to these widespread powers of the Chachamim. They really have the ability, because when we involve ourselves in an act of kiddushin, we also say hariat mekadeshesli b'tabazo kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Right, that the Kiddushin should take place according to the dictates of Jewish law. And that somehow that gives them a Pesach, an opening, to apply a rather remarkable license called Afkinu Rabbanan LeKiddushin Mineh. That the Chachamim can be oker, they can uproot a Kiddushin, and an Eishes Ish can become Muteras LeShuk. So whenever we have one of these very few examples of the Gemara where the Chachamim instituted this kind of Takana, that a Get Rabbanan should actually work daraisa, it's really assimilating akiras davar min haTorah afkin rabbanan lekiddushin mineh. That's what the Gemara is telling us. So then the Gemara says, "Amalei Ravina leRavashi, tinach the kaddish bekaspa." If the kiddushin originally took place with kesef, that makes sense. We're not sure why yet, but kaddish bebia. Let's say there are three methods of kiddushin, as we discussed. Right, one is kesef. The third one is the intimate physical relationship of husband and wife, kiddushei bia. So if the Kiddushin took place, v'biya ma'ikal emeimer, what are you going to say then? Are you really able to uproot even that kind of Kiddushin? So the Gemara says, shavyu rabbanan lebilaso bilasnos. Yes, lemafreya, in retrospect, they can retroactively turn the physical relationship that at the time seemed to be beheter and bekedusha with sanctity, they can turn that lemafreya into an act of bilasnos. Now, this line of the Gemara, Tanach de Kaddish Bekaspa, de Kaddish Bebia, Ma'ikal Neymar, this idea that somehow this remarkable Chiddush that the Chachamim can uproot retroactively the Kiddushin, that somehow that is more effective when it comes to Kiddushei Kesef than it is Kiddushei Bia. That's a very strange concept. What is it based on? So Rashi and most of the Rishonim explain in the following general terms. What they say is as follows. When it comes to Kiddushei Kesef, the Chachamim have access to a mechanism. And that mechanism is Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Right? The Bezdin has the ability to confiscate all the financial wherewithal of the Jewish community, if they would want to do that. Hefker Bezdin Hefker. They can make anybody's personal property into Hefker. So basically, when the Chachamim said that we are uprooting this Kiddushin, they have a mechanism. They can go back to the moment of the Kiddushin when the husband gave the ring or the Kesef to the wife, and they can say it's no longer his money in retrospect. He gave somebody else's money, and therefore the Kiddushin was never chal. We have a mechanism. However, when it comes to Kiddushei Bia, the physical relationship of husband and wife, Chacham don't have any ability to reach back and to redefine, to reformulate what happened there. And therefore, on what basis can they be oker, can they uproot a Kiddushin l'mafreya? So it's a problem, it's a mechanistic problem. Other Rishonim explain it more in terms of halachic desirability. They say, listen, if the focus is kesef, not only can it be done, it's not really very scandalous. Right? You just say that it wasn't his kesef. He didn't know at the time. At the time, you know, it didn't seem this way, but in retrospect, it wasn't his money to give. There is no kiddusha. But kiddushei bia, bekiddusha, are you really going to go back and turn that into znus? I mean, it sounds like you are substituting one problem in order to safeguard against another. So the question is not one of mechanism, it's one of desirability. That's how many of the Rishonim, within, there are many nuances how to say it, how they explain this Gemara, Tanakh, the Kaddish Bekasba, the Kaddish Bebiya Ma'ikalameh. However, there was a view, an early view, which we find in the Gaonim, and we also find in the Rabosav Shel Rashi, which he quotes, and Rabbeinu Gershom in Bava Basra, and apparently it was an early view in different halachic cultures, which interpreted the Gemara in a very different way. How do they interpret? As follows. Tanach de Kaddish Bekaspa. Look at Rashi. Rashi says here, number 4, Shavu Rabbanu Bilasnus, L'mafreya Yidei Getshu M'divreyem, Bilasnus, Yesh Koch Lasas Kein, Sharihu Tala Bahem. Shamati Kol Rabosai Mefarshim, De Kaddish Bekaspa, De Kiddushei Drabanan Inhu. The way to read the Gemara is as follows. Kiddushei Kesef is only drabana, because it's derived from Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, this Hekesh. And since it's drabanan, therefore the Chachamim themselves can uproot Heimamru Veheimamru. They created it, they created the monster, they can remove it, they can neutralize it. But Kiddushei Bia, which is explicit in the Torah, Kicha Kish Isha Uva Allah, what are you going to say about that? That's an explicit pasuk in the Torah. The Chachamim have no power over a pasuk in the Torah. That's how the Rabosav Shel Rashi interpreted. Just look 1 second to Rabbeinu Gershom Bava Basra Mem Chesed Beis, number 5. You'll see this is a little more explicit. Hotanach de Kaddish Bekaspa, the Hainu Kiddushin de Rabbanan, Mishum Hachi Matzi Lafkoi Rabbanan Med Rabbanan. Therefore, the Rabbanan can come along and they can neutralize the Rabbanan that they create. Aba Kaddish, the Bia, should be Bal Korcha, de Bia, Hainu Kiddushin de Raisa, Vihi Bu'ulaz Baal. Michael, maybe it's a pasuk in the Torah. What are the Chachamim going to do about that? What's the answer? Amalei, the Gemara said, Shavu Rabbanan Bilaso Bilasnus. What's the answer? Afilohochi Lohavion Kiddushah Kiddushin, Mishum de Shavu Rabbanan, Laman de Kaddish Bebiya, Le Bilaso Bilazus, the Chutzpah Ka'avid hold the Tiknu, the Takinu rather, Kiddushah Kaspa, Motzilaf Kue Kiddushah Bia. So how does the Rabosa Shalrashi, Rabbeinu Gershom, how do they read the Gemara? Very simply. Tanach de Kaddish Bekaspa, it's a Kinyan Drabanan, you can be Okarit Midrabanan. But Kiddushei Bia, which is Daraisa, what can you do about that? And then the answer that came back was a rather shocking and remarkable answer. And that is, don't think that the Chachamim's license is limited to Drabanans. They actually have the ability to uproot Daraisas as well. They can take Kiddushei Bia, which is Minat Torah, and if they say it no longer works, it no longer works. That's the view of Rabosav Shel Rashi. Now Rashi himself, go back to number 4 for a moment, is very unhappy with this. Second line, where we left off, Rashi says, V'iyef shalom archein. It's impossible to accept this suggestion. Chada d'gzeir shavahi. kicha kicha misnei Ephron. The kol halamed migzera shava kemo shakasav mefura shula chol davar. It's a very important line. Rashi says, what makes kiddushei kesef drabanan? The fact that it's derived from a hekesh. The hekesh is daraisa. Not only daraisa, but even more than that, key line, kemo shakasav mefura shu lechol davar. There's no difference at all between something which is explicit in the Torah and something that is derived from one of the drushas. The oat, furthermore, says Rashi, idra bana ninu heich soklin al yado umivin chulin la zara al shigigasan. The Torah tells us that if you violate the status of Eishes Ish, if she is involved with someone else, so b'mezid, if she does it intentionally, she's subject to the death penalty, it's a capital crime. If it's b'shogeg, right, she was, she erred, whatever the case may be, there are different scenarios. The Gemara speaks about in Krisos. So then she brings a korban. Now, if Kiddushei Kesef is only drabanan, the Ishus is only drabanan, so she's going to get the death penalty for violating something based on a kinyan drabanan. She's going to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash when, in fact, min haTorah, she's not married and there's no reason to bring a korban. That's called chulin, maybe chulin lazara. In other words, Rashi's saying two things. Number one, the methodological point that kesef is derived from a hekesh, therefore is drabanan, we absolutely reject that. Moreover, the objective evidence is that we never found in any Gemara, any Mishnah, any Gemara, any other source that we differentiate between an Eishes Ish through method number one, number two, or number three. Ha'isha nikneis begimel drachim, kesef, shtar, bia. Whichever one is the basis of the kedushin, the consequence is always the same. We never found, here you bring a korban, there you don't. Here you get the death penalty, there you don't. It's the kind of thing that if it were true, it would register in the sources. It doesn't. Therefore, the conclusion is that the death penalty and the korban applies under all conditions. How can biblical death penalties and korbanos apply to a drabanan kinyan? The sof sof, says Rashi, third question, ki kamishanin on shivur abanu bilasos bilasnos. What are you going to explain in the end of the Gemara? The Tanakh, the Kaddish Bekaspa, we understand. That means it's Drabanan, and therefore they can be Oker Drabanan. Assuming it's Drabanan, that idea that they have the capacity to uproot what they created is very reasonable. But how are you going to read the next part of the Gemara? Tzorach ha-talafarish kemosha pirashti, shakidushin nekaran meikaran. The part about the Kaddish Bebiya, Maikal Meimer, the Gemara says, shavu Rabanan bilasa bilas nus, how are you going to explain that? That's a daraisa. Your whole point is, if it's drabanan, they can do it. And now you're saying that if it's daraisa, they can do it as well? They can really take a kedusha bia and cancel it? V'lo mikanu l'haba. After all, the charm of the explanation of Rabbos of Shalrashi is that they, unlike everybody else, are able to read the Gemara referring to an uprooting of this ishus, not retroactively, but in forward time. Right? In other words, the way they interpret, if it was Kedushei Kesef, so the Chachamim now say, you know what, a get to Rabbanon is enough. Fine. And if it's Kedushei Bia, what are you going to do? That's the Gemara's question. The answer is, they can do that too. How do they interpret? The Chachamim can say, no more, the Ishus is over. So Rashi says, how can you say that? I mean, where do the Ishus go, min haTorah? It's better to interpret that this is all about an Akira Lamafreya, retroactive annulling of the Kiddushin, than it is to read the Gemara Mikan Ulahaba, but to have these tremendous Kiddushin. If I'm a Farish Lomar, lest you say, Shavir Abana Lekol Mekad Shebiya Bi'ilaznus, maybe it means the following for Rabbos of Sharash. The Gemara says later on in the first parak of Kiddushin that Rav Mangid Amanda Mekadish Bebiya. That even though the Torah says you can be Mekadish Bebiya with physical intimacy, nonetheless, at a certain point they decided that was no longer a proper way to get married. Why? Because they felt that it was too close to Znus. They wanted to make a clear line between Kiddushin and Nisuin, and for whatever reason, they decided that Kiddushei Bia was a problem. Now, the simple reading of the Gemara is, not that they annulled Kiddushei Bia, the Chacham don't have the ability to annul Kiddushei Bia, but Rav Mangid, as a matter of public policy, he decided that from now on, you're not allowed to get married according to this method, and if you do so, you'll get punished. The Kiddushin will be Chal. If you look at the Rambam, which we are going to look up in just a minute, But if you have it here already, number seven, yeah. But if you look on page 3, just for a second, number 7, halacha kafalef, though. Aval pish ikar advarim kainu nohagu kol yisrael lekadish bekesef o b'shav kesef. Even though minat Torah, we'll get back to the first halacha in a minute, minat Torah, you're allowed to get married in one of these three ways. Midrabanan, they insisted, or nohagu kol yisrael kesef or shav kesef. V'kainu ratzal lekadish b'shtar mekadish. If you really want to get married with a shtar, you can do that as well. Aval ein mekadshin bebia lechatchila. Lechatchila, you should no longer do kiddush bia. V'im kiddush bia, makenos hamakas mardos. You get rabbinic lashes. That's mangid, rav mangid. Mangid means you get some sort of malchus midrabanan. Kedei shelo yisrael prutzim bedavar zeh. They thought this was an opening to pritzus. Afal bisha kiddush of kiddushin gemurin. However, says the Ram, even though the kiddushin, of course, are chal. We're just discouraging this, and we're putting some teeth into the discouragement. But Rashi's saying, well, how will the Rabosa Shal Rashi read the Gemara? Apparently they say more than that. They said that once Rav came along and said, no more, so Kiddushe B are off the books. They don't apply anymore. And if you were to be Mekadish B'derech B'ya, it won't work at all. That's exactly what Rabbeinu Gershom said. If you look back at Rabbeinu Gershom, number 5, we read it already, but just that last line, the Kaddish B'biya, L'bilasa, L'man the Kaddish B'biya, L'bilasa B'ilasnos, the chutzpah ka'avid hold takinu kiddushe kaspa motzi lafkuei kiddushe bia. Okay. So what do we have so far? Let's just sum up for the moment. We established our three methods of kiddushin. Kesef is derived from kicha kicha misteyaparon. Bia is explicit in the Torah. Shtar is derived from the yatzav ha'isa, the link to gittin. Now, we encounter this Gemara in Ksuvis, and it appears in other places as well, a very difficult Gemara to read, which most Rishonim interpret as a retroactive, the ability of the Chachamim retroactively to uproot the Kiddushin, or through Tanai to uproot the Kiddushei Bia. However, the Rabos of Shal Rashi, the early interpretation of that Gemara, was quite different. It was, Kiddushei Kesef is Drabanan, therefore you can put a stop to it. The Gemara was bothered by Kiddushei Bia, which is Daraisa, and the Gemara said, you know what? Just like you can put a stop to Kiddushin Drabanan, you can put a stop to Kiddushin Daraisa as well. Rav Mangan Amanda Mekadish Rabia means he has written out this Daraisa. Now the policy changes the Daraisa status. And Rashi, one second, if you just hold off for a few minutes and then I'll try to leave a point for questions later on, but I just want to get through a certain point. Rashi attacks Rabos of Sharashi on several grounds. Number one, something is learned from a Hekesh doesn't make a Drabanan. Number two, not only is it Daraisa, but it's Ke'ilu Mefurish Bakra. There's no difference between explicit and Hekesh. Number three, this is an impossible way to read the Gemara. There's no way to explain that Kiddushei Bia, Daraisa, can be written out by the Rabban. Now, the view of the Rabosa Shel Rashi, just to mention something about that very, very quickly, although it's not our bigger topic, touches on a question of rabbinic authority. What is the scope and capacity of rabbinic authority? And it's tempting to suggest that there even may be two sides of the same coin. After all, how are the Rabos of Shel Rashi going to answer the first, or the second rather, of Rashi's questions? Rashi asks, number one, it's a Hekesh, and therefore it's the equivalent of a Daraisa. And number two, he said, Lo Matzinu, we never ever found that someone said that if an Eishes Ish through Kiddushei Kesef violates her marriage vows, that she's not subject to the death penalty and she doesn't have to bring a korban. And how could that be if it's only Kiddushin Drabban? Is it possible that the common denominator of Rabos of Shel Rashi is an extensive capacity of Koach Rabbana? They believe that while the Torah establishes Dinim Daraisa, the Torah also invested the Chachamim with great power to, at least temporarily, redefine in both directions the relationship between Drabanan and Daraisa. Meaning, it's true that Kiddushei Kesef is only Drabanan, but maybe it results in a Kinyan that is Daraisa. Once the Chacham came along and they said, this is the proper method of Kiddushin, this becomes a Din Daraisa. Mashal Amad Davar Dome, again, it's not exact Mashal. There are many people who believe that the prohibitions on Chol HaMoed of Yisra Malacha are Daraisa. However, the Gemara seems to say in Chagiga that the Chachamim are the ones who defined it. There's a chachamah sometimes given the capacity, the power, to fill in the blanks, to define things. Now, there's a huge difference between those two cases, because it could be that the Rabbanon have the ability to assess and to apply. That's quite different than the ability to create and to define. Here we're talking more about creating and defining. They're more about assessing, evaluating, and implementing and applying. I don't want to get too deeply involved in this, but that's one point. If the Kiddushin is Daraisa, even though the Kinyan is Rabbanon, which many people believe, so then we would be able to solve the Skila problem, the Ma'il Chun Lazara problem, etc. And then if we looked at the second half of Rabosov Shalrashi, it would no longer be as shocking. In other words, since Rabosov Shalrashi have this expanded idea of rabbinic license, right, only, of course, carried out by proper rabbinic authorities, Bezen HaGadol, whatever the case may be, the legitimate spokesman for Klal Yisrael in that particular generation. So they have also the ability to cancel a Daraisa, to say this Daraisa no longer applies. In one of the tshuvas of the Rajba, where he talks about the problem of Afkin Rabbanu Likidushin, the Shoel, it's always hard to know how much stature to assign to a Shoel, a person who asks a question. Anybody can ask a question. It's not clear that the Shoel, even of the Rajba, is necessarily a person of stature. But it is, having said that, fascinating to note that in one of the tshuvas of the Rajba, where he talks about this problem of Afkin Rabbanu Likidushin, the ability to uproot Kiddushin retroactively, so the Shoel asks the question and he invokes the principle of Lo Sasur. Right, the Torah says in Parsha Shoftim, right, Lo Sasur min adavar, right, you have to listen to the Chachamim, you can't veer, not right, not left, Yamin Usmal. And Lo Sasur is the source for the fact that Rabbanon have great power. The Gemara says in Shabbos, we say Asher Kiddushanim Tosavet Sivanu, with regard to Chanukah, there is Chanukah, or other brachos on Mitzvot Rabbanon, Heichan Sivanu, Lo Sasur. So it's fascinating that the Shoel in the Rajba says, you know, Lo Sasur teaches us that the Rabbanon have this capacity to affect Sivuyim, and you have to listen to them in a Torah. Maybe that's the basis of Afkinu Rabbanon, the Kiddushim, their ability to rewrite marital history in this context. So basically, there are sources here and there, and there's a whole literature on this, maybe it's another topic, another time. When can Rabbanans be Motzia Daraisa? When can Rabbanans be Mevatla Daraisa? When the Chacham came along and they said, no more Tkiyas Shofar B'Shabbos, and Rosh Hashanah. So there's a very famous debate in the Achronim, Rabbi Kiveger and some of the other Achronim. Let's say you were to go ahead and blow. Would you fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar or not? You violated the Rabbanan, that's clear, and you shouldn't have done it. But did you fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar? Will you say Shehechiyanu, you know, when you blow the next day? If you don't say Shehechiyanu, always on the second day, which is a second question. Meaning, in general, what is the Koach Rabbanan to alter Dinei Daraisa? And that should be examined in two directions. Can they create Daraisas, or the equivalent of Daraisas? Can they mivatel, can they undo Daraisas? So that's one issue. Let's move on to something else for the moment. What is Shitas HaRambam in this whole topic? So far we have Rashi and his group, and we have the Rabosav Shel Rashi, who seem to have this radical idea about Koach Rabbanon rewriting Daraisas. What is the view of the Rambam in this whole topic? So if you look at the Rambam seems to be very explicit, and yet it's highly problematic. Look at the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Hilchos Ishus Halacha Beis, number 6. The Rambam says, V'likuchin eilu mitzvah saseh shel Torah hein, referring to getting married. Marriage is a mitzvah saseh. U'ba'achad mishlosha dvarim, u'ba'achad mishlosha dvarim ha'isha nikneis, the woman is acquired in one of three ways, b'keseth b'shtaru b'biya. And then he says, b'biya b'shtar min ha'Torah, b'keseth midivrei sofer. So, keseth stands out. Biya and shtar min ha'Torah. Kesef, he doesn't say midrabanan, he says midivrei sofer. That's a loaded term in the Rambam. The Ravid immediately jumps on this. If you look, just take a line down. Pasagas Ravid. Bebiya b'shtar min ha'Torah b'kesef midivrei sofer. Omer Avram, ze shibush u'peirush meshubash hita'ahu. This is incorrect. It's a mistake. The Rambam was misled by an incorrect interpretation. Look again the next piece, number 7, halacha chaf. Hamakadish bebiya hareli kedusha Torah. If you get married bebiya, that's kedusha Torah. The chain b'shtar miskadeshes bo mina Torah. Notice the very subtle shift in language, even when he's talking about bia and shtar. I'll get back to this. You can also get married with shtar mina Torah. Kishem shagomer magarish, just as shtar works to end a marriage. Shenema because of the sefer krisus kach gomer machnis. It also has the ability to create a marriage. Why does Rambam add this limud? Here we'll discuss soon. Avala kasef mi divrei sofer. And then if you look in parentheses, right, it says v'chein dina kasef din Torah uperusho mi divrei sofrim shenemar ki ikach ish isha from uchachamim lekuchem eloyu b'kasef shenemar nosati kasef asadakach mimeni. So there appear to be two girsos in the Rambam. Right, the printed one is kasef mi divrei sofrim, which is what he wrote in Perek Aleph. Again, we don't know what divrei sofrim means though. And then the parentheses is a little bit more on the daraisa side. Right, unequivocally daraisa. Dina kasef din Torah, but he adds uperusho mi divrei sofrim. What does that mean, and why is it significant to add? There's something going on here in the Rambam. Again, the Ravid jumps in and says, "Omer Avram ein pirtza gadolim mizu." This is a huge breach of halachic, truth or etiquette. Upirish meshubash sheshama b'tanach dekadosh b'kaspa hu hita'ahu b'zeh. Ravid says, I'm going to be melamed zchus, you know. I'm going to justify. Where did the Rambam get this from? Before he also made allusion, he said an incorrect interpretation. But he didn't tell us what that interpretation was. Right now, it's like a puzzle, you know, you have to put the pieces together. The Ravid's now telling us, in his opinion, where did the Rambam get this from? From the sugya I just read in Ksuvas and elsewhere. Hotanach de Kaddish Bekaspa, de Kaddish Bebiya Maikal Meimar. That's where the Rambam got it from. He said, however, just because we now know what misled him doesn't excuse his mistake. He shouldn't have been misled, and he shouldn't have recorded this in his Yad HaChazaka, because it's totally wrong. That's the right. Now, is this really so? What is the Ravid assuming? The Ravid is assuming that the Rambam, when he said B'divrei Sofrim, meant Midrabana. And that he read the Gemara in Ksuvas and elsewhere, like the Rabosav Shal Rashi. Tanach de Kaddish Bekaspa, it's only Drabanan, therefore they can be Oker, that Kiddushin Drabanan. The Kaddish Bebiya Maikal Meimar, Shavu Rabanan Bilaso Bilaznos. This is the suggestion of the Ravid. This is not only the suggestion of the Ravid, it's also the suggestion of others. The Ramban, in his Sefer Mitzvos, if you look here on number 11, in the context of Shorish Beis. Now, I should mention that Shorish Beis, it's too long to discuss this in any great length, but Shorish Beis is very crucial here. The Rambam, in his Sefer Mitzvos, Rambam counted 613 Mitzvos, and he first developed Shorashim, principles, what he counts and what he doesn't count. So in the second Shorish, he discusses the idea that things that are derived from drashos have a different status than a regular daraisa. And he calls that midibrei sofer. There's a huge controversy in understanding this shorish. Now, many who understood that what the Rama meant was everything that is derived from a drasha that is not explicit in the Torah is darabanan. That's how many understood it, including the Ramban. Others, and that's what one of the points I'm trying to make here today, think that the Rambam's position is far more complicated and nuanced than that, and what I'm trying to do today is just highlight and crystallize this through one example, maybe the most famous example, Kesef Midivrei Sofer. So the Ramban, commenting in Shorish Beis, where the Rambam develops this principle that things derived from a Hekesh are Divrei Sofrim, and he understood them to be Durabanan. The Rambam used that language, but we'll see. He says, Hinei ra'inu lo l'rav shekasa b'sefer nashim, b'tchilas Hilchasishus is number 11. Ha'isha nikras b'kesef ha'bishtar b'biyah b'biyah b'shtar min ha'torah b'kesef midivrei sofrim. U'min inin hazeh shakasa b'kan yatzalo. This comes from his general view, his holistic, universal view of drashos being divrei sofrim. Sh'afa b'shematza b'gemara, even though the Gemara says b'kesef minolam, u'maisel ha'kiyikach en kichayla b'kesef, v'chein romer nasati kesef asadakach mimenu, even though the source seems to be a drasha daraisa, Gozar harav shehu min advarim hanidrashim behekesh shehem etzlo midivrei sofrim. The Rambam felt this constitutes divrei sofrim, And as such, it's only going to be drabana. Ukvar matzasi lo tshuva she'ela she'shalu mimenu zal mipnei ma omra kiddushe biyo shtar daraisa v'kiddushe kesef drabana. V'akuli alfina luminatara v'kesef minalon gomar kicha kicha v'chule. Uvaloshen hazeh heshiv, and I'm going to stop here for a moment. He says, I found as a tshuva of the Rambam, where the Chachmei Lunel asked him the question, number one, why do you think that Kiddushe Kesef is only Medivrei Sofrim? Number two, if you do think that already, and this is very crucial, why do you think that Shtar is Min HaTorah? The Torah is explicit, Ki Yikach Ish Yishuv V'Ola. Right? Kesef we derive, Kicha Kicha Misteya from. Shtar we derive from, V'Yatzev HaHaisa. That's also a drasha, from Get. So if you think that drushos are all drabanan, then how come you discriminate kesef from the other two? You should have discriminated bia from both kesef and shtar, and kesef and shtar both should have been midrabanan. That's a very powerful question that the Chachmei Lunel addressed to the Rambam. We'll get back to his answer. I think his answer is very crucial in just a minute. So the Ramban also thinks that the Rambam's view is that kesef is midrabanan, and he goes on to ask the same kind of questions that Rashi asks against his Ravosa. How can there be skila? How can there be karbanos? None of this makes any sense. One can detect two views, and I'm going to suggest a third view, in the Rambam. One is the understanding of the Ramban and the Ravid, we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Avram ben Rambam, that the Rambam really means kesef is drabana. And if that's the case, all these questions are very, very serious. Probably you would have to conclude in the Rambam, even more so than in the Gemara, that the Rambam believes that Kinyan Kesef Durabanan creates an Eishes Ish Daraisa. Because again, in all of Yad HaChazakah, which is a code of Jewish law, and it's meant to be a practical code, among other things, in all of Yad HaChazakah, you will never find the Rambam distinguishing between an Ishus generated by Kesef and one by either Shtar or Bia with respect to the Onesh of an Eishes Ish. Never. And in fact, I just read to you before Halacha Chaf Aleph, in the end of number 7, where the Rambam quotes the Gemara that says, we're supposed to get married bizmanenu with kesef, b'dieved also with shtar, but not with bia. It'll work b'dieved, but he shouldn't use it. So if the Rambam is writing a code in which he tells you the proper way to get married is kesef, and then he goes on and discusses matters of eishes ish and korban, etc., wouldn't he have to, it would be an egregious offense for somebody writing a practical code not to tell you that the proper way to get married, right, does not result in the normative consequences that he spells out. He never, in all of Yad HaChazakah, ever hints that there's a difference between the status of Eishes Ish, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. So the conclusion would have to be, although the Nosei Kalim don't seem to agree with this, that the earlier ones, the Rishonim, that the Rambam believes that even though Kiddushe Kesef, maybe if it's Drabanan, it results in a Ishus Daraisa. To explain that, it would take me a little time. If I have a chance later, I'll get back to it. If not, we'll leave it for another time. The Lecha Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah and the other Nosei Kalim on the Rambam took the opposite tack. It's inconceivable that the Rambam believes Kesef to be Drabanan for the reasons that we just discussed. They therefore say Medivrei Sofrim just means that the source is Yud Gimel Midos. It doesn't mean that it's Drabanan. And that's the reason why Eishes Ish of Kesef is no different than Eishes Ish anywhere else. This is the view Magen Mishnah, Lechem Mishnah, Kesef Mishnah, etc. The Rambam's son, Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam, was also asked, what's going on with your father's view on Kiddushe Kesef? You can imagine, the Rambam was of such prominent stature that if he really felt Kiddushe Kesef to be Drabanan, that was very, very crucial. So Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam answered, again, we do have something, but it could be that I gave the wrong reference, or maybe there's more to the piece, but it's not the one that's here. But in one of the tshuvas of Avraham ben Rambam, he basically says, my father's view was based on reading the Gemara in Ksuvas, Tanakh deKadosh B'Kasva, which is exactly what the Ravid said. However, he says, in the end of his life, he was chozer. He decided that Kiddushe Kesef is actually Doraisa. But when he thought that that was the right way to read the Gemara in Ksuvas, he thought it was Drabanan, and he really believed Kiddushe Kesef to be Drabanan. That's Avraham ben Rambam's comment. However, it seems to me that this is inconceivable. Why is it inconceivable? Because the Rabosav Shel Rashi, for two reasons. Rabosav Shel Rashi, as we say, had to read the Gemara in Ksuvos. There's a part one and a part two. Part one was Tanakh deKadosh B'Kasva, right? You can get rid of Kiddushe Kesef because it's only Drabanan. the Kaddish Mabia Michael Meimar, Shavira Banan Libilasa Bilas Nus. How do they read that? How can you get rid of Kiddush Bia? The answer is you can, because the Chachamim can not only create, they can also destroy. They can tell you Kiddush Bia no longer works midaraisa. Did the Rambam interpret that way? Clearly not. That's where Perek Gimel Halacha Chafalip. Again, the last piece before number 8, the end of 7. One more time, we read it before. The second line. Avalei mekadshin bebiya lechatchila, v'im kiddush bebiya makin osa makas mardus. Kidei shalei yisro prutzen bedavar zeh, apa bisha kiddush of kiddushin, gemurin. The Rambam clearly did not read at least the second half of Tanakh, the Kaddish Bekaspa, like Arboso Shorashi, in Yad HaChazak. Moreover, the Kesef Mishnah says that he doesn't believe the report that the Rambam was chozer. It's more than that. The Rambam himself, in the tshuva that the Ramban quotes, now let's go back to that. That was in the middle of number 11. Ubalashon zeh heshiv. The Rambam says, Yesh li chibur b'inyan minyan ha-mitzvos. B'yesh bo b'tchilasa yudalid prakin. B'klolos gdolos b'inyan ikarei ha-mitzvos. Tzorech adam leidosam. Yachakachi is barlo toes, komi shamana, right in the middle of that piece. Komi shamana mitzvah skutz mimeni. Ibalalachas gedolos vadakshav. The Ram says, look at my work on minyan mitzvahs. You'll see that I wrote an introduction, klalim, and you'll understand, you know, much of my, you know, doctrine in mitzvahs if you read that and you understand it well. And one of the things that I wrote, ibalosam prok and biarti, Shein Goldover Shalomed Mosa the Hekesh of Kalvachomer Xerishava Mida Bid Gimomidos, Shatar Nidrashisbem, Din Torah, Ad Shiyom Ruchachom, and the Feru Shahu Minatora, Vevesi Alzer Rios, Visham Biarti, Shafilu Dover Shu Halakalamashami Sinai, Midivre Sofim Karinan Bey. This is very, very important. Ram says, if you want to understand my view on Kiddushei Kesef, you have to read Sefer Mitzvos. Not like the Rav Avraham and the Rambam and the Raivid that are based on Tanakh, the Kaddish Bekaspa, the Kaddish Bibi, and Michael Neymar. It's based on a larger view that I have about drashos, mefurash bakra, daraisa, drabanan, and something called divrei sofer. And then the Ram goes on to say, some drashos are drabanan, or many drashos are drabanan, and some divrei soferim, some rather halacha l'moshe misinais, are also not exactly daraisa, but they're called divrei soferim. He doesn't say they're drabanan. He also says there are some drashos. If the Chachamim say they're Doraisa, they're Doraisa. The Ein Sham Davar Shehu Min HaTorah, Elishu Davar Shehu Mefurash BaTorah. But something which I call BaTorah means that it's explicit BaTorah. Kagon Shatnis Kilayim Shabbos Arayas. O Davar Shamu Chachamim Beferu Shehu Min HaTorah. Vein Kamo Gimel Daud Dvarim Bavad. That's a clear understatement, but that's a problem. But the Ram admits that there are exceptions to his rule about Divrei Sofrim, and even within Divrei Sofrim, it's not clear exactly what he means. What he means to say is that it's not Mefurash Bakra, often it's Drabanan, and sometimes Halacha L'moshe Misinais will be in this category of Divrei Sofrim. Upa Oso HaSefer B'Yarti HaKol. And then he adds, V'kan Yesh Lishol B'Vadai B'Lomar Li, but the question you're asking me about the difference between Shtar and Kesef, that's a very legitimate question. Habi'ila v'adei mina Torah sharei lam du'a b'midas b'mina migimel yud gimel midas ela uba'ala melamet shenikdus v'bia. Bia is explicit in the Torah. Ela kesef ashtar v'hekesh lam du'a osam lam ramur shashtar mina Torah v'kesef medivreyan. So what's the difference between shtar and kesef? They're both drashas. Hatshuva al zeh shevada kena yisi omer. Said, you're right. If I had my druthers, I would have said shtar's grabana, shtar's medivrei soferim too. Sorry. Shakesef ashtar medivreyan. Hoil Umin hadin ba'u lulei hadar mina beheja. But there's a Gemara. What's a Gemara? Just look for 1 second at number 2, and then you'll see this is what he's quoting. You know, actually, we'll just read it and forget it. It's, time is late, so let's go back to the first line on page 4. What's this Gemara? The Gemara says as follows. Gemara says beulas ba'al melamed sheniknes bebiya. So the Gemara says, I'm going to read it. The Gemara says, Nar Murasa Beskila Hecha Mishkachasla. A Nar Murasa, a woman who is only Arusa, right? And she's a Nar Murasa. And she was Mizana. She betrayed her husband before the Nisuin, before the second phase of the marriage. How do you know that she gets Skila? So the Gemara says, Midakamakra, Nar Murasa, Besula Shma Mina Vada Yeshmu Rasa Minatora Balabia. If she is a murasan. She never had physical intimacy with her husband or anybody, so she's a besula. So then, if she betrays her betrothed husband, Erusin, she gets skila. The kama shakla v'taru, the Gemara there says, well, how do you get this? The sof hamemra amar Rav Nachman mashkachasla kegon shekitcha b'shtar hol v'gomer motzi gomer machnis shema minas shel divrei hakol hashtar gomer machnis ve'al zeh samachti u'pasakti shashtar min haTorah elu divrei harav. This is fascinating. So this is what really happens in this Gemara. Now look for 1 minute back at number two. But go from... Yeah, I'll read it quickly. Hubabia minala. See on the top, number two. What really happened in this Gemara was as follows. The Gemara said, how do you know Kiddushe Bia? So the Gemara says, Amar Abba Varam Bar Yochanan Damar Kra Ubebulas Ba Malamit Shinasala Bala Ide Bila. So a drasha based on the pasuk. Omer Rab Zeru Lerab Abba Vahu the Omer Lei Reish Lakash Rab Yochanan Ka'urazu Shashana Rebbe Uba'ala Malamit Shiniklus Bebiya. We have another limud, Uba'ala Malamit Shiniklus Bebiya. So the Gemara says, Ime Hasam Hava Mina Adem Mekadish Vahadar Baal. If it said that alone, I would have said, it says, Ki Yikach Uba'ala, Kicha is Kesef, Ba'ala is Bia. So you know, in order to get married, you need two things, Kesef and Bia. Kamash Malam. So the Gemara says, Maskeflor Baba Barmama, Limke Narim Rasa Dam Rachmana Beskila Echemish Gachasla. But if you required both Kesef and Bia to create Eshasit, she'd never have Nara Murasa Beskila, because she'd always have been already a Beula. So the Gemara says, now skip down three lines. Mashkachasla kagon shekitcha b'shtar hol v'gomer motzi gomer machnis. Now, so the Ramban, this is the Rambam source. So the Ramban says, what are you talking about? This was a havamina, it was a discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara said, if we only had Kiyikach and Uva Allah, you might need Kesef and Bia. And then how would you ever have Nara Marasa? Through Shtar. Now, if you froze the Gemara at that point in its discussion, you'd have to say that Shtar is the only Daraisa, or is certainly a Daraisa implied in Psukim itself, because there's no Hechatimsi of Nara Marasa without Shtar. But then the Gemara goes on to say, Kamash Malon, Be'ulas Baal, that Kiddushe Bia Lechud, Kiddushe Kesef Lechud, Kiddushe Shtar Lechud, any of these alone is an Erusin. So the Ramban says, I don't understand. You acknowledge this is a good question, because the things that are learned not Mefurish Bakra, but from Drashos, are Divrei Sofrim, and Shtar should be like Kesef. And you're telling me now that the source that Shtar is different is based on what? Based on a Havamina of the Gemara that had you required Kesef and Bia, you still would have had a standalone Erusin with Shtar. That's a shock of Atariya. We don't paskin. The Rambam himself doesn't paskin that way. Kesef alone, Shtar alone, Bia alone. Where's the source? The Ramban says, I just don't understand what the Rambam's even saying. So what does the Rambam really say? So I'd like to suggest is as follows. Can't do credit to the issue time we have, but just very quickly. This is, I think, a linchpin for understanding the Rambam and some other Rishonim as well. What did Rashi say when he first attacked the Rabosa Shel Rashi? What are you saying? This is derived from a Hekesh. That makes it the Rabbanan. A Hekesh is Daraisa. Not only that, says Rashi, there's no difference between a Hekesh and Mefurish Makro. Now, the first statement that a Hekesh is Daraisa is the mainstream view of Chazal, of the Rishonim. There, you know, it's hard to understand, you know, anybody arguing with Rashi, except Rabosa, maybe. But that second statement is already a little bit more controversial. Is it really true that Davar Shenilmad Melimud Mehekesh Megzer Shava, whatever it is, Ke'ilu Mefurish Bakra? Now Rashi undoubtedly, you know, primarily meant it in terms of the status and stature of Daraisa. But it raises a fascinating question. And that is, on the interface, I said my original topic, between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. But obvious here. But it also relates to the question of the interface between Rabbanan and Daraisa. Namely, why are certain things explicit in the Torah and other things are derived from a drasha? Is that a legitimate question to ask? And if so, is there any indication, any direction in answering that question? That's a very important question. But you might say, the ways of the Torah are mysterious to us. You know, we have a received tradition, Torah Shebal Peh, about how to proceed, Torah Hashem Temima, how to make the Torah operates, how to apply the halacha in the real world, and we, you know, can figure out what's drabbanan, what's daraisa, and all the other rules. But as far as the details are concerned, what is mefurish bakra, why it's stated this way, why it's in this parsha, not that parsha, never mind why certain things are derived from a drasha, and why they derived from certain specific drashas. Why hekesh for this, and a gzera shava for that, and a kal v'chomer for the next thing, and a binyanav for the... There are all sorts of... As far as that's concerned, we have no clue. And maybe it's insignificant, maybe these are just mechanisms that the Rabbanu Shel Olam chose to use for arbitrary reasons or reasons that have nothing to do with us or that should have no impact or shouldn't even raise questions to us. That's a legitimate position. I think with the Rambam's, the key to understanding the Rambam's controversial Divrei Sofrim is that the Rambam felt that the different mechanisms that the Torah uses to convey different halachos are significant. Now what that significance is a second question. But it's legitimate, not only legitimate to raise the question, right? It would be halachically imprecise not to be conscious of the differences. It would be a lack of conscientiousness also not to at least speculate about them. What the Rambam is saying is, even though many drashas are daraisa, the fact that they are derived as a drasha and not mefurish bakra is surely of some significance. Now, sometimes, now comes my personal theory, there's a whole literature on Divrei Sofer. I touched on it before in the context of Kiddushei Kesef. There are those who believe that every time the Rambam says Divrei Sofer, it means drabanan. There are those who believe that the Rambam always means daraisa, but he's just telling you that the provenance, the origin, is a drasha. The problem with both of those extreme views is the evidence. Understandably, each side is advocated by very prominent Balei Halacha, and each side brings strong sources to back up their opinion. We don't have time to go through them now, but there are times when the Rambam uses Medivrei Sofrim and it's clearly drabanan. There are times when the Rambam uses Divrei Sofrim and it's inconceivable that he's talking about a drabanan. How do we navigate the evidence? So what I'd like to suggest, and again, it's personal opinion, is that what the Rambam is telling us here is that sometimes it's daraisa, sometimes drabanan. What exactly it is almost beside the point. In each case, it's important. What the Rambam is really saying is Divrei Sofrim reflects a hierarchy. Whenever the Torah chooses to reveal something, mefurish bakra, that's significant, when it chooses to reveal it in a more secondary way, through a drasha, that's significant too. Sometimes it's significant halacha l'maisa, bar nafkamina, even within daraisas. Other times it's conceptually significant. It tells us something about the nature of the various daraisas. I'll illustrate, I'll just take a couple more minutes just to illustrate very quickly so you'll understand what I'm saying. Sometimes it's a drabanan. When it's a drabanan, the use of Divrei Sofrim is a way of saying this is a drabanan that is linked to a daraisa concept. It may be drabanan, but it's a continuation of the concept daraisa. It's a high level and a high stature drabanan, which is reflective of values that are daraisa. And when it is a daraisa, what we're saying is it represents an aspect, a dimension, but maybe not the fullest expression of this daraisa concept. Let's take it for our example first. If you notice, again, I'm not going to read it because it's a little too late, but if you look at the Makoros that I have here, the Rambam Chasidus, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, Perek Gimel, Chaf, Halacha Chaf Aleph, Pirush HaMishnayis, and Sefer HaMitzvos. When the Rambam quotes the three methods of Kiddushin, he quotes them each in a slightly different way. And each time he underscores the one that's Mefurish Bakra is Kiddush Ebiya. And he says, I'll just give you the example in Sefer HaMitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos, Reishit Gimel, where he says, what page was that? Three. Sefer HaMitzvos, number eight. HaMitzvah Reishit Gimel, he Shetzivanu, this is very fascinating, Livo b'kiddushin. What do you mean, livo b'kiddushin? Strange usage. It doesn't mean kiddush ebiya. It means to become a baal, to become a husband. How do I know that? Because the continuation, v'laseis davar b'yad isha, o b'shtar o b'biya. What do you mean, livo b? Then why is the livo phrase? Because the Sora says, ki yigach ish isha, uva'ala. And the Rambam himself says, go down five lines, aval ha-kiddushin daraisa amnam e-mevurorim b'biya. Kemosh is bar bimakomos, etc. In Perush Mishnayos, again, he has the three methods, and he says, but by the way, don't forget, the one that's explicit Bakra, Bia. Even in explaining Kesef and Shtar, the hierarchy isn't just that one is divrei sof from, he says, Kesef works. Shtar is a method, and Bia is the quintessential Torah definition. The Rambam is very subtle in all the places where he speaks about the three methods. There's a subtle hierarchy here. What's he really trying to say? So let's go back to his tshuva for a moment. What did the Rambam say? I really should have been consistent, and I should have said that Shtar is midivrei sofrim too, but I was influenced by the Gemara in Kiddush and Daf Tes, where they thought that maybe Shtar would be the only standalone Kenyan, and the Ramban said, yeah, but that was a Havamina. What did the Rambam get from that Gemara? The Rambam was interested in the hierarchy. So the Rambam said as follows. Explicit in the Torah, Kiddushei Bia. Kesef, the reason we call it Divrei Sofrim is, it's not just that it's learned from a drasha. Where is it learned from a drasha from? It is an import, an artificial import from the world of Chosha Mishpat. From Kicha Kicha Mistayafron. From the Maharas HaMach Pela. At least Kiddushei Shtar, and the Rambam quotes the language of the Gemara in Daf Tes, Gomaru motzi, gomaru machnis. This is an internal ishus matter. It works for get, it works for kedushin. Ram says, kedushin bia, the explicit in the Torah, that's the way of integrating kedushin and nisuin. If you can pull it off and it isn't znus, later they decided it's too close to znus. That's the ultimate. That's the integration of all of ishus, the formal side and the intimate side. Kesef, that's the other extreme. That's a dine mominis. That's a transaction method for Ishus. Shtar has the best of both worlds in a way. Right? There's a concept of contract, Shtar, but it's derived not from outside of Ishus, but from get. So the Rambam said, you know what I got from that Gemara? The Gemara said it's a remarkable thing. The Gemara said, we might have thought that Bia and Kesef need each other. But Shtar could stand alone. Why? Because Kesef maybe can't stand alone. What would be the logic? It's Choshen Mishpat. It's a transaction. Marriage isn't a transaction. Bia can't stand alone. It doesn't have enough of a transaction character to it. It sounds like Heter's Nus. But Shtar, which is, you know, a little less than both, Shtar is a way, if there's going to be one method of Ishus that stands on its own, it's going to be Shtar. So the Rambam said, I learned from that Gemara, even though Lamaskana, Kesef is alone, Bia is alone, Shtar is alone. I learned from that Gemara that in the hierarchy, it's Bia, Shtar, Kesef. And therefore I don't want to call it Divrei Sofrim, because I want to accentuate that the Kesef here is the outside job. Now look just for one second, with this we conclude. Sorry, I don't have time to develop this more. In just the three or four other Rambams, very, very quickly. This, I just want to illustrate to you this idea. The idea that I'm suggesting basically is then that the Rambam uses the term Divrei Sofrim to accentuate that the method of Limud reflects the status or the hierarchy of that which is derived. In the case of Kiddushin, it means that Kiddushei Bia, Shtar, and Kesef are three different ideas, three different concepts. And every time he speaks about them, he speaks about them in this way. In other places where he uses the phrase Divrei Sofrim or Eina Mefurish Batorah, and even in some cases Divreim, it's also clear that he's talking about Daraisas and yet in a clear hierarchy. And it's sort of illustrated very, very 2 minutes with the following Rambams. In page 4, Hilchos Shechita Perek Hei Halacha Gimel, the Rambam speaks about different levels of trefa. Right? Now the trefos in an animal, when you shecht an animal, you want to eat the animal, trefa, the iser trefa, are daraisa. But the Rambam says an amazing thing. Afa bishakulan halacha l'moshe misinai hein, the different trefos, hol ve'enacha b'feirish batar ela drusa, since drusa, right, is the only one that's explicit in the Torah, hichmiruba, v'kol safek she'istapik b'drusa asur, v'shar shiva mine trefos, yesh v'em sveikan, mutarim k'moshe izbar. A remarkable Rambam. All the trefos are daraisa, but the one that's mefurash bakra is safek lechumra, meaning it's significant that one is mefurash bakra and the others are derived in a different way. I mean, that's the penultimate, the quintessential trefa. The others partake of the concept of trefa. They're trefa, but they're not the same kind of classic trefa. Another example. Okay, Timas Meis Perakei Halacha Gimel says hey hey, but I think what was copied here was hey Gimel. It should really be hey hey. You don't have it, but I'll just tell you what he says. There's a famous rule, Cherev Hareu Kachalo, which is that if a kli touches a mace, the kli becomes an avatuma. And if a man touches the kli, he becomes a rishon l'tuma. But the Rambam says, even though that's true, since it's not mefurish bakra, we derive it from cherev hareu kachalo. So if you actually touch a mace, or if you touch a person who touches a mace, and you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, or you eat kadshim, you incur death penalty. But, says the Rambam, if you touch a kli that touched the mace, even though we say cherev hareu kachalo, since it's not mefurash bakra, it will not have the impact of misa in bias mikdash or achilas kadshim. The Rabbi disagrees. The Rabbi agrees with the concept, but he just says, I don't understand what he's talking about. What does that have to do with being mefurash or not mefurash bakra? Meaning, cherev kachalo has a din of tumas mace. But the fact that it isn't mefurash bakra is the Torah's way or the Chachamim's way of establishing a hierarchy of tumas. Hilchos Avah Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. Elush Adam Chayev Lisaba Aleim Din Torah. Imo Aviv Bno Bito Achiv Achoso Me'aviv Umidivreyem. Here it's even a more problematic term. Sheyis Abel Ha'ish Al Ishto Hanesua. The mourning of a husband for a wife, his married wife, is only drabanan. The Cheno Ishal, but it's a pasuk. Ki im l'sheiro hakaro vela. We derive that there's a connection between avelus and tumas meis. All the nosakelim on the Rambam are horrified by this psak. Ki im l'sheiro hakaro vela. So the Kesef Mishnah and others suggest the Rambam didn't mean midrabana. What he meant was, isn't it interesting that the others are explicit in the pasuk? Aviv imo, achiv achoso, and then it says ki im l'sheiro. And then we have a drasha. She'ero, zuishto. So what the Rambam was trying to say was, not that necessarily that it's drabanan, but surely the fact that it's derived in this way implies a different kind of... One is a blood relationship, right? It's a permanent relationship, always was, always will be. You can't divorce your brother or your sister or your parents, right? Or your children. But she'er is the closest relationship, ishto kegufo, but it's also a created relationship, and it's one which, in theory, can be terminated as well. So what the Rambam meant here was, it's surely significant that the Torah doesn't say ishto. It says she'ero, and we derive therefrom she'ero zuishto. Finally, Perek Yud Halach Aleph, the Rambam says, arusa asur labalam b'divrei sofim kol zman shiva ve'sabiyah. If a woman is an arusa, not an asua, she didn't do the final phase of ishas, then they're not allowed to have any kind of physical intimacy at that point. The Rambam says, midivrei sofer. Again, it's generally understood that according to the Rambam, this is a din drabana. However, in Hilchos Sota, Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, when the Rambam speaks about the following question, right? When if a husband wants to accuse his wife and put her through the ordeal, the process of Sota, he has to be clean and proper in these areas. Right? He shouldn't be accusing her and putting her through this kind of ideal unless he upholds the same kind of high standards. So the Rambam says, "Koli shaba bi asur miyamav achar shehigdil ena mayim amarin bod kines ishto." If he doesn't have a good track record, the process of sota doesn't work for his wife. The afilu bala rusasa bebeis chamid shasur midibrei sofrim. But the Rambam says that that's divrei sofrim. How can an iser bia divrei sofrim be ma'akev a sota process which is a daraisa? Now there might be other explanations of this, but the point is, and with this we'll conclude, that possibly at least there's a pattern in the Rambam. The Rambam's view of divrei sofrim is that surely there is significance to the source, and that the Torah, in its unending, not only wisdom but reach and scope, the Yama Talmud is so vast that even the method of understanding halachos carries with it the secret to understanding the interrelationships better. So Midivrei Sofer for the Rambam is a testimony to the interface of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh, as well as in some cases the hierarchies within and extending beyond of Doraisa and Rabban. Thank you.
Seif points out in several places that Yisurim that are Mefurash Bikra are more
Chabur. Can you get to Rosen's Wag again? Next week we'll be in this room again.
What Seif refers to more is the issue of the first says it two times at Shlita.